Foundation Follies, and A Boo Boo in the Comic Strip.
Hello, and welcome to the Prickly City Podcast for September 2nd, 2016. I'm Janine Fadich, and here is your host and the creator of Prickly City, Scott Stantis.
Thank you, Janine Fadich, and thank you all for listening to this week's edition of the Prickly City Podcast. We're going to comments and stuff in a second, but Janine and I have to fess up.
I'm not going to take that much responsibility for it.
She washes her hands of it. She is the pilot of...
Just say what it is.
Today's Prickly City here on Friday. It's Friday, September 2nd, which, by the way, is the birthday of my great niece.
Yes.
Little,
yay. Stella Irene.
Thank you. She's been on the planet for less than 24 hours. I can't be expected to remember this, can I?
Well, yeah. Your first great niece, it might be something to remember, but let's go on with what you're talking
about. I'm going on. Stop it. I'm going to get there.
Well, it's an 8-minute podcast, and we're taking up valuable time.
Okay, we made a mistake. I made a mistake, and then it didn't get picked up. Janine looks over my shoulder because I'm functionally illiterate, and then we have the editors at the syndicate. They didn't pick it up either, but today, in the second panel...
We have two sane candidates.
Carmen says we have two sane candidates, which, of course, is wrong.
I think maybe she was being ironic. That's what I'm trying to view it as.
Is that what you're going to tell the commenters?
That's what I'm telling
you. Yeah, because it doesn't make a lot of sense. So, you know, hey, listen, I do 365 of these a year. You know, a couple times you're going to screw up. But I screwed up, so I just wanted to kind of come clean, admit the mistake, and we'll go forward and try to be better going forward. So that the jokes actually make sense. Anyway, this week we talk about the Bunny Foundation, the connection between that and the Honey Bunny for President campaign, of obvious parallels to the Clinton Foundation. And are we getting any comments on that?
We got a lot of comments on that.
Really? Okay.
Yes.
Like what?
Well, we'll start with Mugen said, it's kind of funny and very hypocritical, to be honest, to see and hear so much consternation over the Clinton Foundation when there was absolutely none during the presidency of G.W. Bush and his family's Thousand Points of Light Foundation that also acquired money from both domestic and foreign sources. And I believe that money was primarily for the G.H. Bush Presidential Library, not so much charity work as the Clinton Foundation does. However, I did look that up, and that is not true. The money does not go to the Presidential Library. And in fact, in 2013, Obama honored George H.W. and praised the Points of Light as the world's largest organization dedicated to volunteer services.
Oh, well, so, okay. And the Clinton Foundation does some good work. And I'm actually going to sound, I don't know, maybe open-minded. I hope that doesn't get out. But just between us here on the podcast, did some research on the foundation. You had the head of the Republican Party recently say that 20% only, you know, 20% of the money goes towards charity, and everything else is for overhead. Well, excuse me. It turns out that's not true. It turns out that 20% go towards grants, but they have actual direct spending on charitable activity.
Right. It gets an A rating from Charity Watch.
And,
so it's considered a very good charity.
So
and it does
a
lot of good things.
Yeah. 20% of it, but it takes in $100+ million a year. So 20% of it still goes towards overhead. So that's a $20 million.
Yeah, but that's pretty much any charity. In fact, most charities have a lot go towards overhead, and the Clintons do not take a salary.
No, but they get goodies. They get travel, first class travel. They get accommodations. They get, you know, it would be nice. I'd love to have a foundation where I could just go to anywhere and it's paid for. But, you know, okay, what it does seem to have done is, and I'll stand by this, it clearly got people who made large donations to it access to Secretary Clinton when she was Secretary of State.
Well, from what I've read, it not always, but it may be more that the donors felt that because they donated, they should get access. And there's a difference between influence and access. A meeting, a brief little meeting or something like that. She, I think, half of her personal... Or
more than half.
Well, that could have happened anyway, because a lot of the people who are big donors are big names and people who would be able to get to see the president or, excuse me, Secretary of State much easier than you or I.
Oh, yes. Well, and that's what
even without donating.
And that's what's so galling about it. It's one of those things that's a gray area that the Clintons seem to tap dance around constantly. When it comes to access, John Cass had a great analysis of this. He's, the kind of juice that this gets you and access gets you is not necessarily a quid pro quo. And that's what they, you know, that's what Hillary said, where there's smoke, but there's no fire. Well, yet. I mean, that's just a dumb thing to say. Go on.
Well, I'll just say, apparently one of the things that's an issue, and a lot of places have said, a lot of newspapers have come out saying that Hillary needs to distance herself more. I mean, when she's president, her bill's going to resign, but Chelsea's still going to be on it, and they think that is not correct. It doesn't look good. And mostly there's a lot of blurring of lines where they do nothing illegal.
Clinton's, of course, there's blurring of lines.
Yeah, that's it. There's just some more blurring of lines, things that are not illegal but maybe unseemly.
I'm going to come back to what I was saying. John Cass, who's the columnist, one of our columnist and a really terrific columnist here in Chicago, talked about Chicago politics and why this applies to this. The thing is, you give $500 million or $500,000 or $10 million, whatever it is, to the Clinton Foundation, you then get to go talk to Hillary and have your picture taken. Well, if you're the prime minister of Botswana or some of Vietnam or whatever, the juice comes, you get to go and sit down, talk about issues of that country, and you have your picture taken with the Secretary of State, and then you go back to your country, and there's you shaking hands with a smiling Secretary of State of the United States. That's the value. And when put in that context, that makes a lot of sense. It really does. And that's why this kind of stinks. It's one of those Clinton things that they tap dance, they obfuscate, it becomes very fuzzy, and we just keep asking.
And there's
questions.
No need for it, because the foundation does good work. It should stand on its own, and they don't need to do that. Well, they don't need to blur the lines.
She seems to have to
be very,
that.
Very open.
That's the thing that makes you, I mean, even if you like her, I don't, obviously. I don't hate her like many do, but I don't respect her. But it's just like, God, answer the question. Good Lord, man. Anyway, so what other comments do we have?
7 Feet said, the lifestyle they are accustomed to? Okay, that's completely bogus. They wouldn't need the foundation for that. Their speaking fees alone pay them handsomely. Heck, why do you think that Mike Huckabee stays on the motivational speaking circuit? Speaking fees are worth big bucks if you're in demand.
They are, but do you ever have too much? The Clintons never seem to have enough. They seem to be scrambling for money. That seems to be the defining quality of their post-Bill Clinton presidency. So I would disagree with that. I would.
Well, it's also one interesting thing. Politico did an investigation, and they said that one interesting thing is that Bill Clinton used the Former President's Act, which was created to keep former presidents out of the poorhouse, to subsidize the family's foundation.
Yeah.
They, taxpayer cash was used to buy IT equipment, including servers that were housed there. And a lot of the people who got that salary and who were on his staff also worked for the foundation. So there were, like I said, blurring of lines.
Yeah, it's we're going to probably have 4 more years of it, unless, of course, the crazy hate-filled, fascist who's running on the GOP side wins.
Which is scarier.
It is, but, there's always Gary Johnson.
Yes, there is.
We like Gary Johnson.
Seems like a very nice guy. I think that it's time for a third party. I don't think everybody fits in the two-party system, and I think it's breaking down a bit. And I think a third party, fourth party, fifth party would be great.
Yeah. Let's just have one big party.
Woo.
Woot. The party. Well, that's about it for this week's edition of the Prickly Sea Podcast. I'm going to apologize one more time for the boo-boo in today's comic strip, but, stay with us. We'll get it right eventually, I promise you. Thanks to everyone here at WGN Plus. Thank you, Michael Heidemann. You're never going to hear his voice. He does exist. I swear to God. I'm staring right at him. You see him too, right?
I see him too. Yeah.
Okay. So
it's not a figment of your imagination.
It's not just a throwback to the 70s art school. Okay, cool. If you want to keep up with Carmen and Winslow, go to gocomics.com/prickly city, or you can go to scottstantis.com. And if you want to drop us a line, go ahead and do that at pricklycity@gmail.com. I think that's about covers it all. Until next time, we'll see you in the funny papers.